All right. He has been great all year long. He has been a great hire. He has been very, very transparent. He is the Houston Dynamo head coach. He is Tab Ramos. He joins us now.
Well, Tab, pretty historic day today. Weston McKennie scoring on a field with Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi at the Camp Nou. And little known fact about you, tell us about when you were with Real Betis and you got a 1-0 win over Barcelona in that stadium.
Yeah, we actually played a quarterfinal cup game at the Camp Nou and knocked Barcelona's dream team out of the cup that year. We went to the semifinals.
Tell me a little bit more about that day and what you remember about it, because that's pretty rarefied air. There are not many American players who can say that they've won at Barcelona.
Well, I know that I came off the bench in that game, and also that we crossed midfield maybe three times, and one of the times we scored. So it was not a back-and-forth 1-0 game. It was definitely a all Barcelona, you know, 80% of possession for them, and the one chance we had to score, we scored. So that was good, because we had played at our stadium before and tied 0-0. So this was the return game, because it was home and away for the cup in Spain. So we tied 0-0 at home. Then we had to go to Barcelona and win, and we won. So we went to the semis. Yeah.
See, this is what I love about you. You're very honest. You could have clearly said this was an unbelievable up-and-down game. There was no B in sports sense, so probably nobody here has been able to watch it. Yet you are very honest. Hey, yeah. What an experience that must have been for you. You know, big weekend. You as such a big part of U.S. soccer, not only as a player, but as the under-20 coach for a decade. To see Weston McKennie, to see Christian Pulisic, and to see Gio Reyna scoring goals for clubs of this stature, what does that mean to you?
Well, I think for the first time, U.S. soccer is in a different place. You know, in the past, we always try to scrape out being the underdog and trying to fight with the best teams. And, you know, we've had players go overseas and play for Premier League teams and do well overseas. But now our players are world class. You know, our players are now in a category where they've never been before. And yeah, I think it's a completely, you know, it's really apples and oranges comparing now to the way things used to be.
Dynamo head coach Tab Ramos joining us. Give us a little bit of a synopsis of kind of the things you're thinking about here. I know there's an expansion draft coming up. You're working on the roster. You're solidifying contracts. You may be renegotiating some. Just give us a little bit of an idea of, you know, the amount of different things that are going on as a head coach of the team right now.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot going on. You know, we had last week we had to get through to finalizing what options we're gonna move forward with on the roster for those players that had options going into 2021. We had to make those decisions and also decide if we don't renew some of those options, if we still have a possibility of renegotiating some of those contracts. So that's part of it. Then we go into obviously the expansion draft, for which we have to protect players. We get to protect 12. But you know, there's a possibility that you in the expansion draft, you end up losing a player that you actually want to keep. So that's always a danger, but that's always been part of the expansion of the league. So that's something you kind of have to live with. So we have to participate in that. We have to prepare for that. And then obviously because of that, you know, we're working on a few trades with other teams. We're working on a few acquisitions from other teams, and none of that can happen before the expansion draft, because really if we did that, then it would be one more player to protect when they come. And so that, you know, so it's almost better to do it after. So there's a number of things going on in terms of making the roster better going into next year. And then also, you know, it's almost like a domino effect with the way things work. So Mauro, as you know, has been transferred now to Tijuana, and, you know, but this is something that has been going on now for a period of time. You know, the initial idea was for Mauro to get transferred, if not beginning of the season, at the middle of the season. And then because of the pandemic, that was put on hold. And now we find ourselves doing it at the end of the year. So same sort of situation with Albert, to be honest. And so now I feel like not only are we preparing for all these things in terms of getting the team ready for next year and having a different roster next year, but also I think it's truly the beginning of a new cycle. You know, Mauro has done a lot of great things for this club. Will remain, I'm sure, in the fans' view as one of the best players ever to have been here. Same goes for Albert. You can say a lot about the contribution of Kyoto, who left the year before. So, and I think this is now, you know, now this is the beginning of all that change. And I'm personally looking forward to that. And yeah, a lot is going on every day right now.
So with this transfer fee for Mauro Manotas, are you going to be able to reinvest that in specifically another striker? How does that work?
I mean, every indication we have from ownership is that we can reinvest. I think now it's time to be careful and build a little bit the foundation of the club first, so that we make sure that at the moment we're ready to invest, that we're investing in the right player in the one area that we need the most. At the time being, we're not desperate with that. We're more focused on sort of rebuilding the foundation of who we want to be here long term.
So you have mentioned pretty candidly that you're looking to increase, the quality of each line of the team. Any more you can expand on along those lines?
No, not really. I mean, last year, if there was one place we lacked, certainly was up front. You know, we created a lot of chances last year, enough chances to have been a playoff team for sure. And yet we couldn't score. So that's an area that we have to address. Now, without Mauro here, that's obviously, it gives us even less competition up front. So it's certainly an area that we're looking to address with a couple of players. We're also looking into the center of midfield. One of the things about the center of midfield last year, I felt that we needed to get better at holding the ball in those areas and handling balls in traffic. And those players are not easy to find. And so we're looking into that area. And then in the back, obviously, it's a little bit different playing, the way the Houston Dynamo was built in the past, which was a sort of sit with most of the team and counter with three. And then Tomas was the help to those three. So you had Albert and you had Mauro and you had Kyoto. And now you had sometimes, if Martinez could get there, he would get there. Whereas now we're becoming a team where we all attack and we all defend. And because of that, defenders need to do a different type of running. They need to do better. They need to do better in 1v1 matchups. And so we're looking to add into on that line as well.
So is it a surprise to you that the two teams that get to the MLS Cup final are very good possession teams that really desire the ball in Seattle and Columbus?
No, it actually makes me happy that it's teams that want to play. When you watch good teams play, and to be fair, had Minnesota arrived at the final, I would have been okay with that too. Minnesota has proven that, although they couldn't beat us in three games this year, that's maybe one thing we can look at. I think is a team that's definitely built to play good soccer, and I like that. So, there's a good representation in the MLS final, and I'm looking forward to watching it, actually.
He's Dynamo head coach Tab Ramos joining us here. Back to your point about, a player in the middle of midfield that can get out of tight situations technically and all that. I mean, obviously, we saw that example with Seattle with Ladero and Reynoso, who I think debuted against us. Maybe at BBVA Stadium. Yeah.
His first game was a loss here.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember that.
That's true. We can't forget that. But I do remember that day when he came on. So just in talking about your system and the importance of holding the ball and making sure you have players, it was amazing to watch him last night just get out of some of these tight areas, right, and get your team out of trouble. And then something that looks troubling all of a sudden looks even more positive in a very differing way going forward.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at that type of player, Reynoso, you look at Ladero, you look at Zelarayan for Columbus. I mean, these are guys that just, they're connectors, and they're, at the end of the day, those are big investments. And look, I mean, they've done a great job. I think it surprised me a little bit how quickly Reynoso has been able to adapt to the league and make a difference so fast. These are great signings, exciting players to watch, and players really important for their teams.
So are you looking to find a central midfield player that maybe is the standard bearer there in a way? And I mean that respectfully?
Not necessarily. So the way I usually build, I like to build my teams. I don't normally build teams with two sixes and a 10 or a six and eight and a 10. I normally like to build teams with a six and two eights, two guys that go box to box. So I'm not necessarily looking for that type of profile. I know that it's a nice profile to have, but people like to play the game differently. It's not something that necessarily we're looking for. So we're looking a little bit different than that.
Talking to Tab Ramos, Dynamo head coach. All right, your system's aggressive. It's optimistic. It's going forward. It's not being reactive. All the things we love as soccer fans, I think. You have mentioned, though, that this team has to get more athletic. Is that a you know, bang on the table, has to happen in the offseason, get more athletic?
It does. It does. We need a little bit more speed, you know, but that's, it's difficult to find with players that have good technique. You know, what's important is to find the players that have speed, but have good technique as well. And, you know, those are normally on the expensive side. So we're trying to do the best we can, you know, with the circumstances we're under and with the MLS mechanisms that are available to us to try to change the team, but definitely being more dynamic and being more, more aggressive is something that I'm looking for, and something that'll help us to get results.
Cab, is it hard to figure out all these mechanisms? I mean, you know, I've been involved in the league since the beginning, and sometimes I can't figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I, fortunately for me, and I know that you're speaking with Matt as well, but I'm sure Matt will let you know. That's a good question for him. But yeah, sometimes I have to call Matt and say, how does this work again? Because I'm not really sure what you can and what you can do, you know? And that's something that sometimes I think about, it because I basically have been next to this league for the last 25 years. And for me not to know things, I feel like, wow, how can I not know something? So I can imagine for foreign coaches who come into this country and try to figure out what MLS is like, how difficult it must be.
22, I guess, on the roster right now. You know, is there a ballpark figure of how many changes you think you'll make with the rest of the roster? And maybe you can dig in a little bit to options that may be renegotiated and brought back. I mean, are there some players that options weren't picked up that you do want back?
Yeah, there is for sure. I mean, you know, there are players like Miner and Boniek that we're speaking to now, two players that I think are really important to the club. And, you know, sometimes we can sit around and say, well, you know, Miner is, you know, 38 years old. We said we want to get younger. How can we keep Miner? Well, I think there are players where the age doesn't matter. I think, you know, yeah, of course we want to get younger, and it'd be easy for us to drop Miner and bring in an 18-year-old, and that automatically drops our average, right? But this is not about averages. This is about players, and it's about people. And I think Miner carries a lot of the values that we want at this club. He's a true professional and someone who, by the way, had a great season last year. And so someone that we value and that hopefully you know, someone that wants to come back as well.
Leadership, are you looking for additional leadership, a focal point leader, or is that not really high on the agenda?
It's very high on the agenda. I think Zarek was really the first piece to that. When we brought Zarek last year, you know, you could see that besides being a good soccer player, Zarek is one that represents the team really well. Zarek is one that pushes the team well. He's one that organizes on the field. He's the one that carries the values of the club off the field. These are all the things that are really important and all the things that are looking for in the new players.
You have made it very clear through your actions and through your rhetoric that you want this to be inclusive. And you've led the way being very transparent. Is this essential for the future and change in the club?
It has to be. At the end of the day, I don't make all the decisions, but I think it has to be. To be a successful club, we have to be the people's club. We have to be Houston's people's club, and we have to be accountable for that. You know, we have to show our face. We have to say how things are going. When they're going well, we're going to be happy. When they're not going well, we're not. But we still have to stick together. And I think when you build a roster of players who can understand that, that we are Houston's team and that they belong to Houston, then I think it makes it easy. And I think, you know, that's why I said Zarek was the first piece of that puzzle. And I think we're looking at those type of qualities in the people that we bring in.
I look at the league and I look at the teams that got eliminated from the playoffs, the LAFCs, the Galaxies, and the Portland Timbers, who, you know, all have tremendous squads and teams and history. And I'm just looking, man, those guys are going to want to come back, retool, and big time. Any thoughts on just the overall competitiveness and how it continues to grow in this league? Because it does seem pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible grind, really, when you think about it. Because, you know, you're watching Minnesota play Seattle in the Western. Let's just take the Western Conference, because that's where we are, obviously. And then you look at LAFC and you look at Portland and you look at LA Galaxy, all teams who invest a lot of money who next year, they all want to be in the final. So if you take those two that already were in the final this year, you take those three who were not, and you add to that, you know, Sporting Kansas City, who made, you know, probably $20 million investment this year with the players that they signed. And you add to that FC Dallas, who's always a good team. Well, you know, that's just the beginning. And then it's likely that Nashville will come back to our side next year. And if that happens, obviously Nashville already did well. So, yeah, it's a grind. You know, when you think about the playoffs, all you can think about is, hey, you know what, let's build the best team we can build, and then we'll take it one game at a time and see in the end where we fall.
Yeah, that's not to mention 2.5 hours up the road, a couple of guys you know in Austin FC coming in Texas. That's going to make things interesting, don't you think?
Well, I think rivalries are always great, you know, and they make the league more exciting. Hopefully people will be able to be back in the stadiums next year, because how great will it be when – you know, when we're in Austin and there's a whole section of orange that is cheering our goals.
Last one before I let you go, and I'm taking you back to Mauro Manotas, the sale, the striker position. Is that a position you look within the country and outside the country with?
Both. I mean, you know, it's likely that initially we look in the country and see if we can do something within the league that can help us on an established player that can come in, and we know that he's already adapted to the league. And then of course, yeah, we're always looking overseas. The challenge overseas is that, you know, it's unless you make an investment, which it's obviously a hands down, everybody can see that this is the best player, and that, you know, obviously cost a lot. You have to do your homework really well. And the environment in the world right now is not one that really makes it easy to do your homework. Because we can't travel, we can't go meet with players, we can't go watch them live. There's a lot that you can't do. And I would hate to miss on someone because we didn't do our homework.
Tab, last night, a couple of University of Maryland guys playing at the back for Minnesota United, and Dane St. Clair, Chase Gaspar. These were guys I saw in college cups. Is it essential to get some value out of some good college players in the future?
For sure. I think, you know, Sam Junkwa is good value for us right now. You know, he already started to get a lot of playing time. I think he has a good future with the club, probably a starting, you know, either a starting left back or could potentially also be a left-sided center back. He's a good player physically. He has all the qualities that we would want here in a player that we would be seeking from another club. So we like that. And, yeah, I think this year in particular, this year's draft, having the third pick, we are looking forward to picking a player that's actually going to be a first-team player that's going to make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's the time to get a guy that can maybe step in right away, right?
For sure, for sure. We're looking at that pick as almost like a free transfer. Yep.
Tab, thank you so much for your time. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and appreciate all the great commentary here.
All right. As always, thank you for having me on, Glenn. Appreciate it.
All right. See you, Tab. Thank you.
Bye.
Great stuff there from Tab Ramos, and just love how really transparent he has been talking about the Houston Dynamo, his roster, and some of his ideas. Great way, as always, to connect with the fans and give them ownership in their team.